This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis, pandemic crisis, crisis in the Nile River Valley. What is to be done? I welcome Lawson Bader, president and CEO of Donors Trust, which itself is a mission-driven, donor-advised fund providing for the future. We speak of the present and the future now because donor-advised funds, all charity, is having a very good year over year. The generosity of Americans, the generosity worldwide. But I go right to the railroad platforms in Warsaw, in Bucharest, in Budapest, where the refugees are arriving from Ukraine. Lawson, a very good evening to you. The refugee story is compelling and will be for many decades because these are very small children who've been dislodged from their homes. What is it that the donor advised funds, the charity in general, can do for these people who have no means of support right now? Their country is in ruins. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's always nice to be with you, and thank you for the chance to talk. You're correct. You know, we're seeing the images of another crisis, and whether it is a man-made one or natural, it is a challenging one. And this is exactly the opportunity for philanthropy, you know, private dollars to come forth and bloom, which is exactly what is happening. To your question of a donor-advised fund, the simple answer is that is a charitable bank account that individuals set up and have available to them for the immediate and the future to make grants to qualified charities to address exactly what you are saying, the human cost of some of these things. And just as we saw donor-advised funds step up significantly during the COVID displacements, we're seeing the same thing now happening in Eastern Europe and the Sudan and other places where these dollars are now made available to alleviate suffering and address problems. That's precisely what is happening. It's a good thing.
We look to reconstruction of Ukraine, a reconstruction of all these economies that are being damaged by the aggression, reconstruction of the Russian economy. Lawson, the people of Russia right now are struggling as well. Everyone in all of Europe, this is a European turmoil. And what does this have to do with charity? It has to do with the fact that if you are a person in a position to be a philanthropist, you can identify exactly what you want, exactly where you want it to happen, and over time. How does it work, Lawson? If someone comes to you saying, I want to help the people of Ukraine over time, because it's going to be years to reconstruct, what would you advise?
You're right about that. There's always two parts to a problem like this. One is the immediate, the need for diapers, the need for food, the need for housing, those immediate issues that sort of address the human condition. But the longer and more expensive and more challenging problem is that what does it mean to rebuild? Rebuild an economy, rebuild institutions, rebuild the physical aspect. So when our clients come to us with, what can I do about Ukraine, for example, we have those two answers in mind. One are a list of organizations that are providing the services, the food, the shelter, and then the ones that are going to be thinking long term about how do you rebuild a network of transportation, a food infrastructure, a supply chain. The wonderful thing is that there are thousands and thousands of nonprofit organizations thinking about this. And so we have the chance to say, what can you do now to support something? Or perhaps you'd like to set aside some resources for what will be that more challenging rebuilding piece. Use the advantage of investing in that so that your initial contribution becomes something more significant. And when you grow that and maximize that according to all kinds of millions of people doing the same thing, you have the power of the purse to really affect change in a way that government is not always able to do.
The Keefe School of Economics, it's a business school. I've spoken with two deans at that school during the course of this conflict. And according to The Economist magazine, citing the Keefe School of Economics, just the destroyed housing that we know about now in Ukraine is going to require $29 billion over time. So if a donor wants to contribute to the rebuilding of the cities that we hear about in the news all the time, how would it work? What would he have to say? What would you advise him to do to give you the opportunity to grow his contribution over time?
Well, the benefit, and now we're talking more specifically about the structure of the revised fund, where individuals can receive their tax deductions for contributing to their account and then have the option to be able to invest those dollars according to what the long-term plan is and invest them fairly aggressively as need be. So for somebody who feels like I only have $5,000 to offer, I might say, we can spend that $5,000 right now, or let's maybe do some investing and that $5,000 becomes $10,000, you know, in a year or two when the value is greater, and we'll sit down and say, what is it that you wish to do? And we will find the charities that are, again, thinking of how do you rebuild cheaply? How do you create a new economic system that allows businesses to come forth with creative investment opportunities to build something? You have to work with organizations that understand how to structure an economy that frees up that kind of a capital. So my point is there are different organizations doing different things, and you need to be able to have someone that you can trust sort of guide you through what your short and long-term vision is. And that's where people who are spending their days with Ukraine and others have the opportunity to provide.
You write at Real Clear Policy about a conversation going on in Congress right now called the Accelerating Charitable Efforts, ASAC. What is it, and how is it in conversation with what we just identified was the way donor-advised funds work?
So you're right. There's always something going on in Congress, and there has been the introduction of something called the ACE Act, as you referred to it, that essentially is trying to restructure some new rules governing how donor-advised funds operate, governing what individuals can do in terms of forcing them to have to pay out more quickly, the relationship between private foundations and donor-advised funds. It's essentially making it more complex, and unfortunately, it's also going to drive up the costs of the nonprofits themselves. And, you know, there's a different conversation for why it's being done, but the what is that it has the deleterious effect of forcing money to be spent now on charitable efforts, which might be good on one hand, but what it does, it depletes the chest for that next crisis to come. And unfortunately, there is going to be another crisis. And if we had forced, for example, a lot of donor advised funds to empty their coffers 3 years ago, when we were hit with the massive challenges of COVID on the economy, there would not have been the billions of dollars available to help the transitions. So we don't want to be robbing Peter to help Paul here. It's about trying to ensure that we're letting people act accordingly, but think strategically, and not destroy the next opportunity we have to help somebody.
You note that you've had a very good year. In other words, charity is in the offing. How is that? How would you reflect on such a good year during a global crisis such as the pandemic?
I think what has happened in the last several years, and certainly in the United States, is a lovely counterpoint to what has been said about we're not spending enough, we need to force charity. The last two or three years, during significant global upheaval and local upheaval, we have seen the most charitable efforts in record in the United States, with, you know, a stock market going crazy and just giving last year. It looks like Blackbaud is reporting that charitable giving went up 9 or 10% last year. It had already gone up significantly the year before. So the point is that Americans and many others are charitable people by design. We have a system that encourages that charity. And people, the reality is people stand up, whether it's $100 or $100 million, they are willing to part with it for the right purpose. And that's why we've got to be careful that we don't change the sort of regulatory structure that may disincentivize people to do that. We already are the most charitable. Let's continue to encourage that.
And Lawson, I expect this year to be even better than last year because we are in recovery. The economy is very strong. There are questions about inflation, but that follows of the unusual circumstances we're in. And Ukraine is a compelling story. Do you find that in your conversations with donors and people who are inquiring about Ukraine?
We do. We've had a significant increase in people asking about Ukraine. We've had significant people of saying, you know, I've done well, or I think I'm going to do well. And even though, yes, my own costs are going up, I recognize that that's true for a lot of people, and I want to make sure that I'm contributing. So I have every expectation that in 2022, we are going to see not only another increase in people giving into, for example, the donor advised funds, or just giving directly to charity. We're going to see even a significant increase in where those monies are going. And the fact that the U.S. is looking beyond its borders is also very important. So that this is a global charitable effort that we're having. And I think it's going to be another wonderful year for the fact that we are a giving people, and this should be celebrated. Even though we are frustrated by what is happening around us, people are stepping up and giving significant dollars, many cases more than what the government is doing.
Lawson Bader, President and CEO of Donors Trust, a mission-driven donor-advised fund provider for conservative and libertarian-minded givers. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.